It's time now for the OSG.
Three whoopies and a hot damn.
Count Porter Count.
For sure. It's football time.
College.
The lateral. To the corner of the end zone. Can you believe that?
Football.
All the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone.
Preview show.
It's Division I football.
ACC.
SEC.
Big East.
Big 10.
Big 12.
Big 10.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The stadium is worse than bonkers.
Featuring expert pigskin commentary from the online sports guys.
How can you not love this place?
Let's kick off this show with your host, John Nelson.
Let her rip.
Another week of the college football preview extravaganza.
My favorite show.
You didn't say extraordinary, you said extravaganza.
Right. Biggest story, obviously, Michigan and Notre Dame, but this time for the wrong reason.
Both teams coming in 0-2.
Both teams suck.
This is the makings of the Temple-Buffalo game from last week.
Or Virginia and Duke.
And Duke, yes. Who knew that the Irish and the Wolverines would stoop so low?
And Lloyd Carr, Chad Henne is not quarterbacking this week.
Right.
Goes to
Battle
the big kid.
Of the true freshman at quarterback.
1-2 in the high school class last year, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Clawson and Mallett. Here's Lloyd Carr, courtesy of the Big Ten Network, talking about his new big quarterback.
I feel like, the whole game depends on him. Just do the things within the game plan that will enable him to have some success. And I think the other part of it is you're trying to make sure he understands going in that everything is not going to go his way. There's going to be some mistakes. There's going to be some things that he doesn't want to happen that happen, and he's got to move on to the next snap and just keep playing the game.
So I guess the next big story in Ann Arbor this week is Lloyd still employed.
Yeah, so far, he is.
He'll be employed for the rest of the season. They're not going to make a change in mid-flight.
Ron English goes first.
Yeah. I can't wait to see the television cutaways again and disgruntled Michigan fans at Ann Arbor.
That's some of the best TV, college football TV I've seen all year.
Oh, that there was some good TV.
And seeing an incompetent Lloyd Carr on the sidelines. I mean, if you're a Michigan hater, you got to love the last 2 weeks.
But has anybody ever been gruntled? I've always known of people being disgruntled. I've never known anybody to be gruntled.
Stop with the grammar thing, please.
It's college football. Come on, as Dan Hawkins would say.
It's Division I football!
Angelique Chingelis, Detroit News, caught up with Les Miles, your new Michigan head coach, on the conference call for the SEC. He vehemently denies everything.
The two favorite words these days in Ann Arbor are Les and Miles, and I was just wondering if you are flattered by that attention that you've been getting from way up here up north.
I have to be real honest with you, not at all. I've given very little thought to that. I think it'd be a distraction to my team, certainly to me, and the only thing that I'm doing is preparing, play and preparing a very talented football team to take on Middle Tennessee State. So I understand that that's going on. I can tell you that Michigan's got a great coach, and he's won a national championship. He knows what's going on there, and they've been through this before. It's not necessarily the same teams, but both teams that they played are very talented. The Oregon team, the Appalachian State. We played Appalachian State not long ago, a lesser Appalachian State team, and it was a very competitive game. So I know that they'll take care of that. I know that they know what they need to do, and I give little or no thought to that. I know that Coach Carr will, make the right calls.
No, they won't talk about it until the season's over.
Right. I'm focusing on football.
You know, in the back of his mind, though, he's a Michigan man.
Oh, of course he is.
If that job is open, he'll be the first one knocking at the door.
Of course. And Charlie Weiss, of course, gets to do the generic preview soundbite.
You know, we've lost two games. We play 12. Okay, we've lost two games. And right now we're trying to win one. Okay, and not to be too general or too vague on that. I think that's going to be our goal until we got the first one under our belt, and hopefully it's this week against Michigan. Okay, but I think that you never, ever worry about 12 games from now. You worry about this one and this one only.
Okay, so what's going to happen?
Well, too bad the scoreless ties aren't possible anymore in college football.
I guess they can't both lose, can they?
No.
If you can't be an athlete, be an athletic supporter.
And it could be a game where both teams deserve to lose rather than to win. I like Notre Dame in this game. Michigan couldn't stop the three of us. The defense could not stop the three of us.
There you go.
Well, speak for yourself. I had lost a few steps.
No kidding.
It doesn't matter. You still had run 100 yards on that Michigan defense.
3-11. Other big game. Ohio State goes on the road to Washington.
I like the Huskies in this one. Shane Locker.
I think Jim Tressel is too.
I think this is an interesting matchup here. You got a rebuilding Ohio State team against a Washington team that Ty Williams building slowly, but things have seemed to have progressed this year a little quicker.
Yeah, I like the way Washington looks right now. And I can say I love Jake Locker. He's a heck of a quarterback.
And let's hear from your principals, Jim Tressel and Tyrone Willingham.
You can just see throughout the course of 2006 as you watched them grow and then their first two ball games this year, decisively beating Syracuse and Boise State, this is a veteran team that's going to be a tremendous challenge for our young Buckeyes, but it's exactly what needs to occur right now, and we've got to prepare for a tough environment.
Obviously, it is a good football team, been very successful as of lately, has a great coaching staff with Coach Tressel, and also has great players. So we will have our hands full. They are talented on defense at every position, and offensively it may seem like they're kind of feeling their way, but they are very, very good with their two quarterbacks and receiver and running back.
So you like the Huskies? Do you like the Huskies? Are you guys unanimous here?
That might be a little bit of an upset special this week. Yeah, why not?
Okay. Rest of the Big Ten, Akron and Indiana, Buffalo and Penn State, Central Michigan, Purdue, Illinois, Syracuse, go ahead and order, Pitt, Michigan State, Citadel and Wisconsin, and what else is on the board? Oh, Minnesota could lose at Florida Atlantic, and the Brain Bowl, Duke and Northwestern.
Duke and Northwestern?
Brain Bowl.
Northwestern by 2 touchdowns.
What's the next conference? Pac-10. Go ahead and talk about the Pac-10, I'm going to order.
All right, Pac-10. Let's run down the games real fast. We talked about Ohio State, Washington, UCLA, Utah. La Tech is at Cal.
Morgan State.
Yes. New Mexico is at Arizona. San Diego State, Arizona State, San Jose State, Stanford, Idaho, Washington State. That's what your Pac-10 agenda is. Some of the games we've marked here, Phil. USC traveling to Lincoln, Nebraska.
Nebraska. What?
Talk about the battle of two legendary programs right there. Thankfully, they're not the legendary programs that we talked about earlier. But
yikes.
This has been a great game in 1975.
Oh, no doubt.
It's still probably going to be.
It's still going to be.
And Nebraska's no pushover, especially Lincoln.
Callahan.
Well, this is like a signature game for the Cornhuskers.
Oh, yeah. They can reestablish themselves on the national landscape immediately with a win here.
And I'm sure Coach Osborne is going to be there, and the old Red Guard will be there to cheer on the Huskers.
No doubt. And, Pete Carroll knows what he's getting into by going into Lincoln. Let's hear from Pete Carroll and Bill Callahan.
You know, these big games have come along early in the year, every year, whether they're the opener or not, and they've always posed a tremendous challenge for us, and we look forward to it, knowing that we need to go out there, get in a situation, find a way to win a football game, and then get the heck out of there. It'll be extremely difficult and all, but again, if we can get that done, then it's a great accomplishment for our team, and we'll use that, you know, throughout the rest of the season.
No, I think their whole football team is a quality football team. I think they're solid across the board. There's no visible signs of any weaknesses. They're very, very talented. They're well coached, well schooled. They're a complete football team. I like what I see in every phase, not just defensively, but every area of their football team.
Other big game on the board: Oregon and Fresno. Fresno taking A&M to the wall at Kyle Field, and now he has to regroup and face Oregon.
Well, we'll see if this Oregon team is, they got the big win at the big house. Let's just see if they're resting on their laurels, because Fresno State could come in there and sneak out of Eugene with a win.
I'm still not sold on that. I think Oregon's a good team, a potential top 10 team, and I just don't see Fresno State as being able to match up with them. A&M was overrated going into that game, and they rightfully gave them the scare that they deserved.
Let's hear from Dr. Pat.
Well, it's our fifth game against Oregon in my 11 years here, and I think this is the best Oregon team I've seen on film. They completely dismantled Michigan. Offensively, they're hitting on all cylinders. Defensively, they can really run, and it'll be a great test for us. And, you know, that's what we look forward to. We look forward to that. We're building our program again. We've got a young football team. We traveled 30 first-timers to College Station, so it's a young team that's building a foundation, and this will be just the next step.
And Dennis Dixon right now is probably, one, if not the best, one of the best quarterbacks in the Pac-10. He was Offensive Player of the Week last week.
Yeah, how did you like the Statue of Liberty poison in that game?
I loved it.
First the classic actual play, and then the fake.
You got to love it. I like the Ducks in that one, though.
Yeah, right now, Oregon, 16.5, your total 64. Ohio State, 4 and 41.5, although you can find a line of 48.5. Rest of the board, Cal, 33.5 and 67, hosting Louisiana Tech. UCLA, 14 and 43.5 at Utah. Washington State, 26-point favorite, hosting Idaho, 55.5, your total there.
Bill Doba's the head coach, by the way.
Thank you. USC, a 10-point favorite in Lincoln, your total 50.5. That's a bit big for me.
Give me the Cornhuskers.
Arizona State, 28 and 59, hosting San Diego State. Arizona, 10 and 45.5, hosting New Mexico. Stanford, a 7.5-point favorite, hosting San Jose State. What's wrong with this picture?
Ooh, that could be a, that has also a bottom bowl feel to it. Ooh.
Kind of scary all at the same point.
Dick told me he's got the Spartans playing better. It could happen.
SEC, your bailiwick.
Oh, it's my turn?
Why not?
Okay, let's run down some of the SEC games this week. This one's a little interesting. Mississippi State at Auburn. Auburn did not play well last week against South Florida.
Auburn 13 and 41.5.
Mississippi State, they got a win, a little confidence.
It's still not an even matchup yet at this point. Mississippi State's not on the same level as Auburn. Auburn's not the Auburn of the last couple years, but they're still pretty good.
They kind of underachieved, if you ask me. I'm not going to totally write off Miss State. Western Carolina goes to Athens to take on Georgia.
Keep moving.
I think we know what's going to happen there. Ole Miss and Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt laid an egg last week, but
exactly
they need to win.
No, but they're a 5-point favorite right now.
First time ever South Carolina State takes on the University of South Carolina.
Might be the last, unless there's a paycheck
ball coach
involved.
That's true.
That could be a low-scoring game. Having seen South Carolina in person, they're not bad, but they're not that good.
No.
Louisville, Kentucky, we'll tell you about later. Middle Tennessee State will make an appearance at Tiger Stadium.
40-point dog.
Yeah, no going.
Yeah, they scared the crap out of Louisville last week.
That's the only way they're going to stay.
But Louisville couldn't stop us.
No.
let's talk about the big marquee games. First of all, at the Swamp, Tennessee and Florida. Tennessee rarely wins at the Swamp, and I don't see them winning in this one either.
Florida's 8-57. I got them on the north end of that.
All right. Probably the bigger game in the conference. We'll really see who's going to challenge LSU in the SEC West. The Alabama Crimson Tide host the Arkansas Razorbacks. You guys, you fight amongst yourselves because I'm way too biased in this one.
Yeah, what a surprise. I'm sitting here fishing for a number real quick. Alabama, 3 and 47.5. And
Alabama's favored over a team featuring Darren McFadden?
Yeah.
I'm a little bit surprised.
That's what we refer to as a line mistake.
Well, I'd say for Arkansas, it all depends if Marcus Monk can play.
Yeah.
Right now he's listed as questionable, and if he's not effective at all, Arkansas is going to see those 9-10-man fronts, and is McFadden that talented?
Yep. Let's hear from the men, Saban and Nutt.
Difficult preparation on both sides of the ball. Their defense is very aggressive and have played well, and probably the most athletic defense we played to this point. And, you know, they're great running backs. Felix Jones and Darren McFadden are, you know, as good of combination as I can ever remember in college football relative to what they do for their team and how they're utilized and what kind of production they have. So this is an outstanding team and a very challenging game for us. And but I think at this point what we need to be focusing on is what we do, how we do it, improving, competing, staying competitive all the time, doing things the right way all the time, focusing on the task at hand, and everybody's required to try to do their best and get better, and that's really what we're trying to do.
Coach Saban has those guys believing, and they won a very good game at Vanderbilt. We are we're fortunate to have a little bit of extra time to prepare. I think that's helped us during this time to get ready for Alabama and going on our first road trip this year.
McFadden is that talented, but I don't know if the rest of his compatriots are going to be able to help him out.
Nope.
Again, I have to withdraw from this because I'm like too biased.
Fair enough. All right, you want to blow through the Big East in the bottom half of the show? Let's see. Cincinnati, Miami of Ohio, UConn and Temple, which could be extraordinarily painful. Pitt and Michigan State, Rutgers, Norfolk State. USF is off. They were named the Fiesta Bowl Team of the Week. Syracuse and Illinois, which looks really, really painful. And then the game that we wanted to talk about, Louisville and Kentucky.
Yeah, the Battle of the Bluegrass. And you're going to see two of the best quarterbacks in the nation, and Brian Brohm and Andre Woodson.
Yep. And this has the makings of a 70-60 game, especially in light of Louisville giving up, what was it, 38 points to
42
Middle Tennessee State.
Well, I think there's a little revenge factor here for Kentucky because last year they got embarrassed at Papa John Cardinal Stadium, and they went on to have a good year. And I think what they feel in Lexington for their season to be legit is they need a win over their cross-state rival.
I think this is – you're looking at a potential upset game here. I think Kentucky –
like Kentucky in this one a lot.
Yeah. And I would say that, different if they were playing in Louisville, but they're not.
Now, neither defense can stop anybody, but
it doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter in this one.
That's
when you get the skill players in that one. Shall we hear from
Rich Brooks? Why not?
Rich Brooks, he knows
about he knows about those two defenses and offensive.
Both of the offenses, Louisville's and ours, has been very, very productive. Theirs obviously more productive than ours, but ours hasn't been too shabby either. And defensively, neither team, I don't think, has played like they feel like they should. Statistically, we come in a little bit better than they do on defense, but obviously the two defenses are going to have to answer some questions this week.
Kentucky's a very explosive team on the offensive side of the ball. Andre is throwing the ball extremely well right now. He's got big play receivers on the outside with Dickey and Keenan, and Jake in the middle is a tight end, a heck of a player. Raphael's running the ball well. On the defensive side of the ball, they're doing a nice job of not giving up big plays. They're keeping the ball in front of them, rallying to the point of attack, and doing a good job of getting the ball carried on the ground.
And right now, your line, 6.5. Your total, 77.5.
Dang.
Okay.
All right. Wrapping up the bottom half of the hour. Any last thoughts one way or the other as we head to the bottom half of the hour?
A couple interesting games, I think, when you look at the board there that we just talked about. And
how
USC,
are you the only one to get silverware?
USC-Nebraska, I think, is going to be a fantastic game. And a lot of history and a really interesting game to watch.
Washington and Ohio State's going to be a nice matchup. I like the Louisville-Kentucky matchup.
Yeah, that's,
if you like the,
that's going to be fun, and it may take 5 hours to play.
Yeah.
That scoreboard at Commonwealth might explode when the night's over.
Nice. Let's see. That's it for the first half. Some of you get Tommy and Brian. Others of you get your bottom of the hour updates when we come back.
And either way, we'll be back in a few minutes.
More stuff. Bye.
Don't run to the concession stand just yet. More college football is on the way. You're listening to the Count Pointer Count College Football Preview Show on OSG Sports Radio.
Do you know the secret to reading 1,000% faster? That's right. The secret that could allow you to read 10 books in the time it takes others to read just one? Hi, I'm Jeff Flam, founder of Infinite Mind. I'd like to send you a free demo of this secret developed by a leading expert in brain function. Experience with this free demo the secret to reading 1,000% faster. Call now to try this demo absolutely free. Imagine how reading 10 times faster could help your entire family. Kids do better in school, teens can score higher on their college entrance exams, and busy adults can gain that ever-important edge at work. This free demo of IQ is only available for a limited time, so call now. Just think how reading 10 times faster could improve your life and the life of your family.
Call now to try this demo absolutely free. Dial 1-800-771-8424. That's 1-800-771-8424. 1-800-771-8424.
A national championship. Distinction as the only player ever to win the Heisman and the Draddy Scholarship as the nation's top scholar athlete. And touchdown passing marks that rank as the best in SEC history. Danny Werfel's career at the University of Florida is legendary. But Werfel's greatest legacy is the one he's leaving with New Orleans Desire Street Ministry. After Hurricane Katrina, the former quarterback has worked tirelessly to rebuild the foundation he established to impact the lives of some of the country's most at-risk children. An SEC 75th anniversary story of character.
You can't get out of debt because the credit card companies won't let you. That's right, they just won't let you. They've got a slick system that keeps you in debt until you're old and gray. But now there's a system that destroys debt. It's called the Debt-Free and Prosperous Living System by John Commuta. Call today for a free tape revealing the power of this proven system.
I owed over $30,000 in credit card debt, and today, only a year and a half later, I owe no money to the credit card companies.
When you owe people money, they own you. Our system takes all the money you're paying to make the credit card companies rich and redirects it into making you rich.
I'm completely debt-free now thanks to John Commuta.
You can do the same, guaranteed, no matter how much money you make or how much debt you have. This system doesn't consolidate your debt, it eliminates it. Call now for your free tape, 1-800-995-5754. For your free tape, call 1-800-995-5754. 1-800-995-5754.
On his first space flight aboard the shuttle Atlantis, astronaut Jim Voss awoke to a familiar refrain. The Auburn fight song was playing as NASA's wake-up call that day. While pursuing an aerospace engineering degree at Auburn, Voss had been cheered to the song as one of the top wrestlers in the SEC. Later, the veteran of five space flights would log 202 days in space and perform four mission-critical spacewalks during his exemplary career with NASA. An SEC 75th anniversary story of character.
This is Tommy Palmer with a sports comment for OSG Radio.
It's another Prep Football Friday across the state. The season is young, but for some teams, the stakes are high in matchups this week. In Southwest Georgia, there's Cook of Adel at Early County in a clash of double-A powers in Thomasville and Brooks County. In the Mid-State, Blackley County and Hawkinsville renew an old feud. In other top prep games across the state, America Sumter meets Tift County, Glen Academy of Brunswick plays at Statesboro, Lowndes of Valdosta travels to Waycross to meet Ware County. In Metro Atlanta, Collins Hill meets defending state 5A champ Peachtree Ridge, Stevenson is at McNair, and Grayson travels to Norcross. One of the top games of the week features the resurgent Valdosta Wildcats on the road at Brookwood, a top Gwinnett powerhouse. The weekend is filled with outstanding prep football games. There's nothing quite like high school football in the fall in Georgia.
For OSG Radio, this is Tommy Palmer.
The problem with computers? I don't have a computer, and email seems to be the only way people communicate anymore, especially my grandkids. Then I found out that I didn't need a computer to receive emails and photos. All I needed was my regular phone line and the new Presto service with the HP printing mailbox. It's so easy. Take it out of the box, plug it into the phone jack, and presto, you're connected. You don't have to do a thing. Emails and photos from family and friends print out automatically. It's so easy, you have to see it for yourself. Presto will even send you information, absolutely free. Just call 1-800-496-4930. Now you can receive emails and photos from your friends and family without having an expensive, hard-to-use computer. All you need is your regular phone line, so pick up the phone. Call right now for your free information. The number is 1-800-496-4930. 1-800-496-4930. That's 1-800-496-4930.
Two Super Bowl titles and a Hall of Fame career, and Bart Starr wasn't even selected till the 17th round of the 1956 NFL Draft. But Vince Lombardi recognized Starr's potential, and with his encouragement, the former Alabama quarterback became one of the NFL's all-time greats. Potential is what Starr sees in the at-risk young men who had a Rawhide Boys Ranch, which he co-founded in 1965. With his encouragement, almost 3,000 young men have graduated to more productive lives. An SEC 75th anniversary story of character.
My friends laughed at me when I said I could order in French, but when the waiter came, I just smiled and said, "Je voudrais le poulet et le riz."
Millions of people everywhere are learning new languages faster than they thought possible with Rosetta Stone software, and we guarantee that you can too. To prove it, we want you to try our amazing software free. Just request a free demo CD-ROM and see how fast you can learn a language. For your free CD-ROM, call 1-800-331-7525. Discover the secret to learning languages that U.S. diplomats, NASA, and the Peace Corps have known for years. And best of all, there's no tedious translation, no useless memorization, and no boring drills.
If my friends were impressed by that, just wait till we go to Chinatown next week.
Experience the fastest way to learn any of 28 languages, guaranteed. Request your free CD-ROM by calling 1-800-331-7525. That's 1-800-331-7525.
Being in the public eye is nothing new to Heath Shuler. The quarterback led his high school team to 3 state titles. Before leaving Tennessee, he was named SEC Player of the Year and was runner-up for the Heisman Trophy. Following his NFL career, Shuler became a successful entrepreneur in North Carolina. In 2006, Shuler was elected to represent North Carolina's 11th district in the U.S. House of Representatives. An SEC 75th anniversary story of character.
Count.
The 9-yard line. Pump fake, Statue of Liberty. Stewart. And now it's Dixon. He had me. Didn't give it to him. He didn't give it to him.
The OSG College Football Preview Show.
Earlier, they ran the Statue of Liberty where he did give it to him. Just a great call.
Now, here's Brian Eaves.
Welcome back to the College Football Preview Show. It's Brian Eaves, and this week we learned plenty of stuff in college football. We learned that LSU right now is the best team in college football after dismantling the Virginia Tech Hokies 48-7 Saturday night in the Bayou. We also learned that the second best team in Florida is not Miami or Florida State, but South Florida. And I want you to mark September 27th on your calendar right now, because that's when West Virginia travels to South Florida and an upset could be in store. And we also learned last weekend that the ACC should stand for the Atrociously Crappy Conference. In addition to LSU's drubbing of Virginia Tech, Miami was utterly destroyed at Oklahoma, and Wake Forest stumbled at home against a Nebraska team they could have easily defeated. The crappy conference is now 1-4 against BCS conference opponents, the one win being Georgia Tech's victory over the Irish 9 days ago. And the crappy conference is also a miserable 6-7 against Division I opponents this year. And then there's Duke. The atrociously crappy conference could learn a lot from the supremely exceptional conference. And with that said, a subpar week last week in the picks, going 2-3 and losing miserably with both of the best bets. But we look to rebound this week, and we're going with 5 more picks today. We'll start out with a Purdue Boilermakers -20 over the Chippewas of Central Michigan. Purdue has scored over 50 the last 2 weeks. Make it 3 straight. We'll switch over to the SEC, and I'm going to go with 2 underdogs in the SEC today. I'll take Tennessee +8 at Florida. I believe that the Volunteers are going to hang with the Gators for the better part of this game, if they can only hang on at the end. I'll also take Kentucky +7.5 at home against Louisville, and I'll make the Kentucky Wildcats my live dog of the week. Louisville has no defense, and the first team to 50 could win this one. And 2 final picks in the ACC, I'll back the Demon Deacons -19 against Army. They foiled me last week by hanging in there with Nebraska, but the cadet defense will look like Swiss cheese to Wake Forest after playing the Cornhuskers last week. And finally, back to the ACC for my best bet of the week. I may live to regret it, but I'm taking UNC -3 against Virginia. Al Groh's teams have been horrible on the road, and I don't believe that'll change Saturday. The Heels have played 2 really good football games, and they'll win the games they should this year under new head coach Butch Davis. And this is one of those games. The best bet of the week this week is UNC -3 over Virginia, and part 2 of the College Football Preview Show starts right now.
The Count Pointer Count College Football Preview Show on OSG Sports Radio and the World Internet Radio Network.
The stadium rocks and swings.
Back to the College Football Preview Show, as John calls it, the College Football Extravaganza.
This week, anyway.
At least this week. All right, we're going to start off the second hour with the ACC.
You call it College Football Palooza.
Yeah, there you go. I like that
Isn't
one.
That kind of, like, copyrighted?
It might be.
It is?
Here's what's happening in the ACC this week. The oldest rivalry in the South is renewed as Virginia takes on North Carolina in Chapel Hill.
Painful.
Furman will make an appearance at Death Valley and against Clemson and will be properly beaten.
Dispatched of, yeah.
Same with the Ohio Bobcats as they go into Blacksburg to take on a Virginia Tech team that was battered and bruised in Baton Rouge last week.
Sean Glennon not starting. Virginia Tech a 20.5-point favorite. Your total 42.5. Virginia is a 3-point dog at North Carolina.
Do you have to pick somebody in that game?
Hey, I like the heels in that one.
Coming off a loss to East Carolina.
That's okay. Butch doesn't seem too concerned.
No, and I guess when you got a Virginia team that just really hasn't done much of anything coming in,
the Al Groh factor, come on. The crusty old man.
Is that like fear factor?
It could be. Moving on, the ACC round two of FIU in Miami. Who survives this one in the Orange Bowl?
The ones without the crutches.
Will Michael Buffer be there to introduce the lineups? Army heads to Winston-Salem to take on an 0-2 Wake Forest team. Wofford will make an appearance at Carter-Finley Stadium. This one might be a close game, the way NC State's been playing lately.
Man, Wofford, another Southern Conference team that's not a pushover.
Don't diss the Southern Conference.
They can sneak
up and bite you in the backside.
Careful.
Duke and Northwestern, we've told you about. Now, here's a couple of games we kind of earmarked in this conference. Florida State travels to Boulder to take on the Buffs.
Yes, and as we all know, yes, Dan Hawkins, we know what this game is.
It's Division I football! It's a Big 12!
Bobby. And this is the one thing that Bobby Bowden talked about. Not really knowing how to take this particular game because he knows everybody in Florida, as he'll say in a second, but folks out west, not so much.
You know, when you play another part of the country like this, it's really hard to evaluate their talent because here we know all the kids. We knew all the Clemson boys. We knew all the UAB boys. Now you go play out there and it's hard to grade their personnel. All I know is they look like a very solid football team, and they look good enough to beat you.
You're still looking at two legendary programs that are not quite what they used to be.
It's Division I football.
It's a Big 12.
But I'm just wondering, the Boulder's up there in altitude, how these Florida guys are going to handle not being able to breathe.
Yeah,
that will be kind of interesting.
I mean, the backs and the receivers are going to love it, but the linemen are just going to be gassed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how is Drew Weatherford going to throw in the thin air?
He has trouble throwing in regular air, never mind the thick air, never mind the thin air.
And we know how the offensive line is right now. I mean, once they're gassed from that altitude, Weatherford just might as well just run the ball every time.
Yeah. Florida State right now, 4-point favorite.
Yeah. I tend to like the Buffs in this one.
I'm not sold
on Colorado. And I hate to say that because I love Coach Bowden and the Seminoles.
I'm just not sold on Colorado more than anything else. I don't think Florida State's that much better than them, but I'm just not sold on Colorado.
I can see your point. If you're going by pure talent, yeah, you got to go with the Noles. But for some reason, I tend to like the Buffs.
That's you.
This is a great matchup. Boston College travels to Bobby Dodd Stadium.
This is your early signature game.
This is the battle of Atlantic and Coastal Division mainstays.
The loser probably won't be going to Jacksonville either. I think this has got that much meaning to the game.
Tech right now 7-48.
Right now, Matt Ryan is the highest quarterback in the ACC, if not the nation. Taylor Bennett played well.
Yeah, but the flip side of that, Tashard Choice right now, possibly, if not one of the top three running backs in college football.
Taterhead can carry the rock, my man.
And carry it well. And never mind the fact that his understudy may be just as good, Jonathan Dwyer.
Right,
a true freshman from Cal High School in Marietta.
Yeah, Subtle plug.
The more I've watched this Georgia Tech team, I'm just more and more impressed with the way they play on both sides of the ball.
And it's amazing that they lose Calvin Johnson, the best player in the college draft this past year, and they may be a better team this year.
Let's hear from Coach Jagosinski and Coach Gailey.
John does a great job with those kids, and I believe they had a significant amount of starters back from last year's team, and they played in the championship game, so they're a good football team. and they're really well coached, like I said, by John, and Chan does a super job with those guys.
They're physical. They're an extremely physical football team. Their front seven and their safeties are, you know, guys that attack the line of scrimmage and do a great job of stopping the run. That's what I see. It's just hard to run on.
Okay, now what do you guys think? How do you like this game?
Tech, but not by the number.
No, I think Tech in a squeaker too. I think this may be the best game of the night on Saturday.
Yeah,
I agree. I'm going to go with Boston College simply because
you just want to go against it.
Because you picked them before the season started.
Contrarian.
Maybe.
At least you're trying to keep your story consistent.
I just think they're stronger offensively right now. They're on a roll. And I think they'll eke out a win over Georgia Tech. But I think it's going to be a great game. Shall we move on?
Move on.
Yes, we must.
To the Big 12. And here are some of the games going on in the Big 12 Conference. The Battle of Iowa as Iowa takes on Iowa State in Ames, Iowa.
Yep.
Keep going. It might be a winless year for Gene Chilzik. Western Michigan heads to Missouri, a hot Missouri team.
Two for two.
Columbia.
Move on.
Utah State against Oklahoma. We think we know what's going to happen there.
3 for 3.
Texas State is at Baylor.
4 for 4.
UL Monroe against Louisiana Monroe, I should say. He's at College Station against Texas A&M.
Quite all right.
5 for 5.
The Rockets launch to Lawrence, Kansas to take on the Jayhawks, Rockets of Toledo.
Hopefully there's no fix there.
Here's my prediction for a 1AA school defeating a 1A school.
Missouri State
defeating Kansas
State.
Gee,
there's no homerism there.
Yeah. I've got to go with the alma mater. I'm sorry.
Well, I would hope so. I don't think you're allowed to pick against an alma mater.
Coldest I've ever been in my life was in Manhattan, Kansas playing a baseball game. Southern Cal, Nebraska, we told you about. Texas Tech at Rice in an old Southwest Conference matchup.
Woo-hoo!
Kind of like the Red Raiders in that one.
Rice is horrible.
And Florida State and Colorado,
it's
we told
true,
you
but
about.
It's not cooked.
Give them another week.
The feature game in the Big 12 this week, you got to go down to Orlando, where the Texas Longhorns will be making an appearance at Disney World as they take on Central Florida. Now, they're opening a new stadium at Central Florida.
Yes, we are.
And great George O'Leary.
How we doing?
And Mac Brown, why are you going to Orlando?
Well, because, frankly, I owe George O'Leary my life. I don't know why. Just somewhere in there. Maybe it's a good payday. I don't know. But maybe I'm getting free cable.
But maybe you're going down there to get those Florida boys.
Get them Florida recruits.
A little bit of a recruiting trip.
I think so.
Get them to come to Texas and play with Texas boys. Shall we hear from the parties?
I think so. Let's hear from – we're just hearing from one.
Let's hear from Mac.
Yeah, Mac Brown, go.
Some people questioned why we would schedule an old Southwest Conference foe who was angry that they didn't get in the Big 12 and would play so hard against us. But at the same time, we needed a game like that. We needed a team to come in and give us their best shot and compete with them, whoever it was. And it ended up working really well. So I think the big question this week, will our team handle success as well as they handled the adversity after Arkansas State? So they came back and played hard and played well and played with a lot of passion. But now, since they feel a little better about themselves, we hope that they'll take that swagger into playing well again instead of stand around and get complacent. So I think that's the question this week, is how will our guys respond to a good second half?
Okay, guys, how do you see this game?
Texas in a walk.
Yeah, this isn't going to be close.
Are we going to see the Texas team that played against TCU that had a nice comeback, or are we going to see the Texas team played against Arkansas State that almost choked it?
Well, I think that Mac Brown wants it to be the former and not the latter, and I think that's what's going to happen because UCF...
It's just not that good.
No. How we doing? Not so well.
They got those Florida boys, and you just don't know if they're going to be out there.
Well, you know, Mac, just one of those things.
The middle of the pack... CUSA team.
Oh, wow. We got food. Go. What's next?
Hey, what is next?
The Wacky Wacky Whack.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are getting your food. I'll run down the list of the games.
There you go.
In the Western Athletic Conference, Utah State and Oklahoma, we've told you about. La Tech going to Berkeley to take on the Cal Bears, we've told you about. Fresno State heading to Eugene to take on the Oregon Ducks. UTEP heads to Las Cruces to take on New Mexico State and Howl Mummy. The Wyoming Cowboys head to the Smurf Turf to take on the Boise State Broncos. The Colonels of Nicholls State head to the biggest small town in the country, Reno, Nevada, to take on the Nevada Wolfpack. San Jose State and Stanford, Idaho and Washington State. But the feature game this week, the Hawaii Warriors take on the Rebels of UNLV at Sam Boyd Stadium.
Is that because they're the only team in the WAC that's ranked?
So that would be it.
That and there's some backstory.
Tell it, John.
The 15-yard penalty that June Jones got for displaying the haka dance to the folks in Ruston, Louisiana before the game. That's just what they do to kind of warm up and, you know, become all hot and bothered and get ready to play. They got a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, and they're 70 yards away from the field. The refs thought it was an intimidating move, so they had to kick the opening kick from the 15-yard line.
So who were they intimidating?
I don't know.
I'm guessing they didn't understand that down there in Ruston.
And if you ask June Jones from this week's WAC press conferences, he ain't going to stop doing nothing.
Well, it's not going to prevent us from doing the haka in the future. You know, it was a tough situation, I thought, for the officials. You know, we've been asked to do a certain thing with it, and we're going to try to apply to that. But we're going to continue to do it. It just, you know, we were 75 yards removed from the field doing what we do. That is something that is special to Hawaii and special to our fans, and you know, it just was an unfortunate situation, I thought.
And I can't blame the man.
Well, you can't.
Excuse me, that should have been a sure sign of a bad day. They barely escaped Ruston with a win.
Well, and so did Wisconsin last week with UNLV.
I read a stat today about Hawaii's only run the ball, I think, 11 times this year.
Well, would you?
Well, when you got Cole Prentice, why run it?
Yeah.
And the majority of the running plays have been Colt Brennan and basically just escaping the rush.
Yeah, there you go. Escaping the run, and that'll do it for the WAC, I guess, huh?
So we move on to the Dreaded Others?
Yes, hang on.
Okay, Dreaded Others, Conference USA. We kind of earmarked Southern Miss at East Carolina, a good CUSA game, and East Carolina coming off a win over North Carolina, so we'll be a confident team.
Yeah, and here's how they did it against North Carolina, courtesy of our friends at CSTV.
He got it! East Carolina wins 34-31. Ben Hartman nails the 39-yard field goal, and East Carolina beats the North Carolina Tar Heels.
This is going to decide the GMAC ball inside track right here.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. Detroit, here they come.
The take on Michigan?
Yeah, really. Wow.
That's pretty good.
Wow, that's pretty funny.
You're also assuming that Michigan's going to win this year.
Well, at least they'll get the gate.
Yeah.
They'll have, what, 60,000 at Ford Field for that one. Any others for the Dreaded Others, fellas?
I like the idea that Minnesota could lose at Florida Atlantic. For the sake of the marketing department, McNeese is playing Louisiana Lafayette. Dreaded Others. I'm still fishing here. I got a big zero on the Dreaded Others.
Yeah, we've covered just about everything.
Yeah, we've there's not really
Wyoming
a whole lot
at
in the
Boise
Dreaded
State,
Others.
Maybe.
Well, we talked about that already in the WAC.
Yeah.
Wyoming going to the Smurf Turf.
Yeah. So okay, there you go. We talked about it. Which means one thing. It's time for
the Portland State Report.
There you go.
Woo! And the Portland State Vikings, the team of OSG,
we've
adopted them. We're all Viking fans.
Yeah, we're off to a little bit of a rough start.
But you know what? We're right there with them. We got their backs. They're 0-2 right now. They're coming off a loss last week to Cal Davis, 26-17.
And they had the lead, too.
We're not going to mention Cal Davis is a Division II team.
Aren't you going on a pasta strike until they win?
No.
So, UC Davis is the winners of the Causeway Classic.
Yes, they are.
This year. So, now the Vikings will be opening up Big Sky play against the Hornets of Sacramento State. And a game at PGE Park.
Yeah.
And
we got highlights from the last one, though.
Well, let's listen to the highlights from UC Davis game, courtesy of KTRO Radio.
High snap over the top. Boy, did we see that. Into the end zone. He's going to try and run out of the end zone. Gets tackled on the play. And they're going to call it a safety. 2 points for Portland State. And they're going to get the football. Shubo Mahin gets the handoff this time. And he powers his way. I think he's in. Football came out late. Now the Vikings will go across the end zone. It'll be touchdown, Portland State. They come with a big blitz. White pump fake. Throws the ball out. And it's going to be intercepted on the play. Stepping in front that time was Kenny Griffin. And he intercepted it at the 18-yard line. High snap again over the top of Benjamin. It's going to go out of the end zone for another safety. I've never seen anything like this.
We saw it at McNeese. We see it here. Two more points. And Portland State's Damian Porter gets a high five from the kicker, Emmanuel Benjamin. And the Vikings, it's a different way to get to 10, Mike, but we'll take it. White drops to throw. Good protection this time. Sets up, lofts the ball. He's got Mackens out there. It's in the air. Comes back to make the catch to five. Turns the corner. Touchdown, Portland State. Kenneth Mackens comes up with a grab. A 50-yard touchdown reception from Brian White as he beats Snowden on the play, coming back to get the football. Turner and Rice, the wide receivers both ways. Second and goal from the five. A lot of time in the end zone. Touchdown. Rice turns to the outside, makes the grab.
Okay, as we mentioned, taking on Sac State.
We have to go with Portland State. Are we going to say no?
Yeah, that's like an alumni pick. You have to pick that.
You know, one of these days, we're going to have to go out to the PG&E Park and watch these guys.
I know.
Yeah?
Maybe Jerry will pay for it.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll give him a shot. So we move on to Division III?
I think so. Now, this was something that you brought up, which I thought was really cool.
I didn't know there was even a school by this name, but go ahead.
And J-Dub, if you've got any sound of music, roll it right here. Heidelberg College broke their 36-game losing streak.
36
game losing streak.
Defeating Oberlin.
Yeah, they defeated Oberlin. We got highlights from the game.
Actually, no, we have just post-game.
Post-game. Roll the post-game, J-Dub.
We told our kids, you were here for that, but it's not a reflection of any of you. It certainly wasn't a reflection of the recruits that came in. And, you know, it was just an opportunity for our guys to go out and play their best. And I think, you know, there were times throughout Saturday that we certainly played great football. There are times that we made some knuckleheaded plays as well, and we can correct those things. But I think it was a collective sigh of relief for our players to know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and we can get going with some new traditions.
All right, that comes from our friend Jason Aldrich, courtesy of WTTF AM in Tiffin, Ohio, AM 1600. Head coach Mike Hallett, he wants new traditions now.
New traditions. And speaking of new traditions, where else are you going to get Division III football but then right here?
Yeah, and where else?
I just like the idea of Heidelberg.
Heidelberg.
Named after a German castle.
What's their nickname, by the way? We got to look that up.
Okay, we'll have that next week.
The Fighting Germans?
It could be.
Don't encourage. But you wanted new traditions?
Yeah.
I have in my hot little hand here the OSG poll.
Oh, no, not that.
Bring it on.
You want the Dirty Dozen or the bottom five?
Give me the Dirty Dozen.
Okay.
Let's be positive to begin with.
12.
All right, now we have our closest margin between 1 and 2.
Really?
1 point separating USC and LSU. Oklahoma's 3, Florida 4, West Virginia is 5. Wisconsin, a very distant 6th. Cal is 7th, Louisville 8, Texas 9. Texas really didn't get a lot of votes in a lot of polls this week in a lot of the individual submissions. Rutgers 10, UCLA 11, and through legitimate mathematics of all of the pollsters, this was not a rigged gig, Heidelberg College and Appalachian State tied for number 12.
See what happens when you open up the poll to all schools now?
Yes. In the name of equality and parity.
That's what happens.
And all that is college sports.
Others receiving votes, Penn State, Oregon, Ohio State, and Georgia Tech. Now to the bottom five.
Dun, dun, dun.
Things that make you go...
Starting at number five, we actually have a tie.
A tie?
Stanford and Temple, even though Temple beat Buffalo.
Buffalo beat Temple.
Oh, that's why they're not in the poll this week. Okay.
Go Bulls.
Okay. Number three, Notre Dame.
No
number
shock.
Two, Michigan.
Michigan.
And still valiantly holding on to the number one slot by a 6-point margin, D-O-O-K.
The Duke Blue Devils.
I think that's an honorary thing until they actually win a game.
True. Buffalo actually did get votes, as well as Slippery Rock from brother Corey Ray.
Buffalo can't really get votes, though. They won.
Well, they're just...
Well, they're still bad.
Yeah,
they're still bad. Come on.
FIU got votes. Rice got votes, considering they're horrible and lost to Nicholls State, I want to say.
Troy got a vote from Phil.
Only because they're playing the entire SEC.
Yeah.
Don't be a Trojan hater.
Well, actually, I take it back. Not only are they playing the entire SEC, they're playing Oklahoma State this week.
Yeah. And both Charlie Weiss and Lloyd Carr got votes individually to be in the bottom five.
You can't fix stupid.
Lloyd Carr is still employed.
And Charlie's large enough to qualify for two votes.
Yes. Now, here's the interesting part. One of the pollsters, who shall remain nameless, Greg Burton, AM 950, ESPN Radio in Richmond, Virginia, The Drive with Greg Burton, Monday through Friday, 10 to noon.
But other than that, we won't name him.
No.
Yeah.
He had a rather themed vote for his bottom five. His number five squad, Louisiana Monroe. His number four squad, Louisiana Lafayette. Don't tell the marketing department.
No, Greg, you're lucky my wife's not here.
Number three, Louisiana Tech. Number two, Louisiana Michigan. And number one, Louisiana Temple.
Where's Nicholls State?
Give it time. No, but he'd have to go
Southern.
He'd have to go Louisiana Southern
Grambling.
Or Louisiana Nicholls
Grambling.
State. Stop it.
Northwestern State.
Show's over.
Tulane.
Southeastern Louisiana.
Stop
Tulane,
it.
Tulane, very good.
Stop. No, it'd have to be Louisiana Tulane under Greg's poll.
That's true.
By the way, that's the show.
That's the show?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for playing. Come again soon.
We didn't get to spin the wheel of conferences.
We'll do that next week.
All right, whatever.
Or we'll do it with the pointer count.
Enjoy your college games, everyone.
Have fun.
Bye.
Bye.
I forgot one last thing before we do go. Thanks to the folks at Bassano's Pizzeria, BASSANO, Bassano's.com, because that's where we stumbled into 80s night while we were taping. Now we're done.
Thanks for listening to Count Pointer Count. Today's show was brought to you by OnlineSportsGuys.com, Distant Replays, the World Internet Radio Network, Podomatic, Liberated Syndication, and ICD Soft. For more information about Count Pointer Count, please visit the show's website at pointercount.podomatic.com or check out OSG at www.OnlineSportsGuys.com. I'm Mike Blakeney. See you next week on Count Pointer Count.
His mission is to open the door of athletic experience to disadvantaged youth, to afford them the same opportunities as their peers. In 2006 alone, Tom Pagnozzi's charity awarded 900 scholarships to children in Arkansas, and the former Razorback catcher is aiming for even more. With his 12-year Major League Baseball career complete, the three-time Golden Glove winner returned to Fayetteville to form Pagnozzi Charities. Pagnozzi works diligently to level the playing field for each and every child. An SEC 75th anniversary story of character.
Offset. Now Brandon Robinson set in motion by Ryan. Gets the snap from Tennant. Straight back to pass. Looks near side. True spiral. Caught by Challenger. Towards the end zone. Is he in? Kevin Challenger's got a touchdown. Now play action Beck. Plenty of time at five. Rolling to the end zone. Touchdown. Harrison Beck has a touchdown from 2 yards out. And the Wolfpack stun the BC faithful. It will be a 28-yard attempt for Steven Hauschka. One out of one last week. Right hash. Snap, spot, kick. It's good. Play action Beck looking far side. Intercepted by Dunbar to the five. To the end zone. Touchdown, Boston College. Take a bow, Joe Lund. You are the hero right now. Snap, spot, kick. Approaching, and the kick is good. Apanavichis, the junior from Easton, Pennsylvania, has his second field goal of the season. And BC leads 17-10 with 2:06 to play. First half. Second down and nine from the 17. After the timeout, Beck hanging strong, throwing end zone. Taji Morris got it. Interception, Boston College. What a pick by Taji. It was intended for Darrell Blackman in the left corner. Oh, he came up with it. Third and one for the Eagles at the four. What will they call? Back split, McCluskey and Callender. Tight formation, handoff Callender. Running left, got the first down. Towards the end zone, touchdown! Boston College, Andre Callender, take a bow! Eagles 23, NC State 10. Tight formation, two backs, McCluskey, Whitworth. Ryan, handoff LV, running left to the end zone, touchdown! Boston College, LV Whitworth. His first 6 points of the season, BC 29, Wolfpack 10. Second down and four, tight end in motion. Handoff Callender, running to the right. Past the 30, 35, good cut to the 40. Andre Callender could go to the 40, to the 30. All real estate to the end zone. Touchdown, Boston College. Oh, that was clear sailing right up the Charles River. BC 36, NC State 10.
In 2002, Ozzie Newsome made history when he took over the reins of the Baltimore Ravens to become the first African-American general manager in the NFL. Newsome has pioneered his way through many milestones throughout his remarkable career. A consensus All-American at Alabama, he started in 48 consecutive games and led the Tide to three SEC championships. In 13 seasons with the Cleveland Browns, the Hall of Famer distinguished himself as one of the top tight ends in NFL history. An SEC 75th anniversary story of character.